Well, good morning again. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We'll be reading out of the fifth chapter of Ephesians this morning. Starting there at about verse 22. Ephesians 5:22 through the end of the chapter there. Men, if you have your note-taking book, I would suggest get it out, get you a good pen. This is a good sermon. Wives, submit to your husbands is the very first verse I'm going to read. Ephesians 5. But we're going to continue today with belonging to the body of Christ. We're going to look at belonging to Jesus as the groom, and we are the bride. We are the bride of Christ. We have been bought with the blood of Jesus, and we're going to look at what it means through this passage on marriage, what it means to be in the body of Christ. So what is dating? Some of you, you're trying to think back what dating really was like. It's been a few years ago. But what is dating? According to some information I found, there's five levels of dating. The first one is simply attraction. You have to find the other person attractive, and then you have to make a conscious effort to get to know that person somehow. Whether you get your friend to introduce you, you just go ask for their number, Facebook, whatever it is. You make the attraction there, and you make the effort to find out their name maybe or get a phone number. That's the first step of dating. Then the second step is uncertainty. Uncertainty comes when you've made the attraction, you've made the first, you've been noticed, you've made the first move or whatever, you have a number, you've talked, you may have went out on a couple of dates, you may have talked on the phone, but you're not in a serious relationship, you're just knowing each other. Quite possibly you could be seeing other people while doing this because you're not in a relationship with this person. And then after uncertainty comes exclusive. This is when you go steady. How many of you remember going steady in seventh grade? It's when you make the commitment that, hey, I'm only going to date you, you're only going to date me, and we're going to get to know each other better. Okay, probably a little bit more touch involved, holding hands, kissing, that kind of stuff. Nothing of the sexual realm is going on whatsoever. And my wife is telling my kids right now, no, this does not happen in step 3. You got to get to step 27. There's only 5 steps. But you have that exclusive relationship. And then fourth, you get to intimacy. This has nothing to do with sexual relationship. Intimacy, you're getting to really know this person. You're getting more comfortable with them. They're starting to know things that you've not shared with other friends. You're getting to see them for their real self. And then the fifth step would be engagement. And this is when you make that decision, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. This is your loophole. This is the time when you finally make the decision, I can either live with them forever or we might not need to do this. Because this is when you should find out every dark little detail of their life and be able to make that decision to commit forever. Because after engagement, there's only one more thing to do, and that is to commit to marriage. You know, it's funny that a lot of people, they want to date the church, but they never want to commit to marrying the church. They don't mind being attracted to the church. They don't mind getting acquainted with the church. They might even be the only church they want to go to, but they can't make the commitment to go into the engagement and go into the marriage that Christ says you're to be a body of the church. You're to be part of my body in the church. Paul clearly teaches in the New Testament that we are to commit to the church like a marriage. When a man and a woman get married, they are making a commitment. Really, they're making a covenant to God. They're making a covenant to their family. They're making a covenant to each other that they're going to stay together. Christ wants the same for the local church. He wants a commitment to the local church. He wants a commitment to one another as believers in the church. Paul compares committing to the church in three ways in Ephesians. In marriage, like marriage, he compares it to parents and children, and then he finally compares it to masters and to slaves. Today we're going to look at the marriage, Ephesians, starting at verse 22, going through the end of the chapter. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot, without wrinkle, or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. Since we are members of his body, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I am talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day again, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity that you have provided me to break this bread, God, and I pray that you open our hearts, open our minds and our ears to hear your voice speak today, God. Lord, I pray that you empower us to take this message, God, and apply it to our lives, that you may be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. So submit to your husbands. This sermon, this scripture, it can be preached a lot of different ways. But today I want us to look at what it really means to submit. What it really means to be sanctified, and what it really means to be satisfied. Ephesians 22 clearly says that wives are submit to their husbands, because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He gives two reasons for this. One is because the lordship of Christ. Christ is above and of everything. He is the head of the church. Then the husband is over his house. He's the head of everything. Wives are to submit. That's pretty basic. But who is the wife in this situation? Paul's not just really talking about a marriage here between a man and a woman. He's talking about the church. And he's saying the church will be the bride of Christ. And if the church, we are the church. All of you that are looking at me and me and looking at all of you, we are the church. We're the bride. We are the wife of Jesus, you can say, and we are to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. This passage is literally speaking of the marriage body of the church, submitting to the head of the church. Lee is not the head of the church. Bill is not the head of the church. The Pope is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And we are submitting to the authority and to the power of Him. 1 Corinthians 12 directly speaks of the body of Christ, and it talks about belonging to the local body. It talks about the physical body, how if you're an eye, you see. If you're a hand, you touch. If you're a foot, you walk. We're the body of Christ. We're made up of several parts, but yet we're one. Once a person accepts Jesus as the Lord, they need to connect to the local church. They need to become the body, in the body of the local church, because we're submitting to the authority of the husband. The church is the bride of Christ. Now, when I hear submission, I reckon I was a rebellious child. And submission is not something that just flows naturally from me. It's not. Fact is, when I think of submission, I kind of think of a horse with a bridle. You pull this way, they go that way. You pull this way, they go that way. You pull both of them, they stop. They're submitting to that. I think of a dog with a shock collar. If you don't want them to bark, you put the no bark shock collar on them. They don't bark. We have one, he has a perimeter. He don't get within 10 feet of that perimeter. He has submitted to the shock. But when I think of submitting, that's what my mind thinks of, is that kind of submitting, that physical submitting there. However, that's not what the Bible is describing here. Jesus is not holding over us like this. Submission has nothing to do with the order of authority, but rather governs the operation of authority. How it is given and how it is received is the submission. You go look in John 13. Hours before his death, what does Jesus do? He kneels down. He takes a pail of water. Washes the feet of his disciples. You're talking about Jesus. You're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the guy that was sitting on the right-hand side of God when he said, Adam and Eve be made, trees be made. And here he is bowing at the... That does not sound like submission to... I mean, authority to me. Why did he bow down at the feet of his disciples and wash their feet? Not just 11, but he washed all 12, including the one that was going to betray him. Within 24 hours of kneeling down to wash their feet, he's going to be hanging on a cross, dying for them. Why did he do that? Because he was showing what he wanted the church to do. He wanted the church to submit to the authority of him. And the best way to teach somebody to do something is show them how to do it. He submitted so that we would submit to his authority. He bowed down and graciously washed their feet. And now he said, I want you to come in. And I want you to be a part of the body of Christ. And I want you to submit yourself to my authority. Because I have done the lowest I can do in washing feet to show you that it's all together. And we're going to work together in unity. We're going to work together with one another. We're going to do things in a group to glorify Jesus. Submitting to the authority of God. Probably the hardest thing for me is to submit, even still in my life. When God begins to speak to me about something, I'm like, ah. But Jesus is not asking us to submit because he's holding a bridle or because he's holding a shock collar. He's not holding a whip or a gun or a spear or anything of that nature. He's asking us to submit because of what he's done for us. He is saying, submit to the body of Christ. I like that trick. Back around. Here we go. Submit to the body of Christ so you can be loved, so you can be sanctified, and so you can be satisfied through His power. Sanctified. What is sanctified? I grew up my whole life in a church, and they would tell you got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Spirit. I was like 25 before I ever learned out what sanctified was. I just knew it was something I was supposed to do. I didn't know what it was, but I was supposed to be doing it. Sanctified, it's simple. It means to be set apart. In Ephesians 5:26, it says, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or without wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. To be sanctified is to be set apart. It's to be holy. It's to be clean. For some, longer than others, I want you to think back here to your wedding day. Some of you only got to think back a year or two. Some of you got to think back 15, 20, 25, 40, 50. But I want you to think back to that wedding day. It was a day when the husband is set apart to belong to the wife. And it is a day when the wife is set apart to belong to the husband. That is your wedding day. You probably said something real similar to this. I promise to love, to hold, to cherish, to support, to protect in good and bad, sickness and in health, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, to death do you part. You said something similar to that. And then the pastor more than most likely said something similar to this. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. When a marriage takes part, you are setting yourself apart for each other. There is nobody else in the world. Your spouse is your life. Your spouse is your world. There's no more dating, talking, seeing, social, whatever, with anybody else. You set yourself apart for your spouse. But we're to be sanctified and to be washed by the Word. When you are a Christian, you become one with God and with the body of Christ. You are set apart from the world. And you're to be more than just a spectator, but you're to be the body of Christ. You're to belong to the body of believers. Paul is writing this to express the importance of belonging to the local church. He's expressing this because when you're together, you're stronger. I'm pretty strong by myself. But let me and three or four or five other men get together, and we're even stronger. You get 70, 80 people together, we're pretty strong. We're set apart from the world to be strong for Jesus. We're set apart from the world so that we're stronger together. We're set apart from the world so that we can show the world the love of Jesus. The world needs to be washed in the Word. We are washed in the Word, and now we are to show the world that. We're to be separated. We're to be spotless. We're to be cleansed. We're to be holy. We're to be set apart. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not to live in the world. How many of you going to go to work in the morning? I am. How many of you going to go to work somewhere that's not inside the church house? I am. How many going to go into a job where you're going to pray through real good when you get there and real good when you leave, because that job's in the world? When you're set apart in Christ, that doesn't mean that you're not in the world anymore. We don't put us in a little box and we don't associate with the outside. No, we're set apart so that the world sees, hey, there's a difference in us. We're set apart so the world says, hey, they're legitimate. What they're saying is real. They're not just saying it, they're actually living it out. They're not just talking some words, they're working it out. When we're set apart for Jesus in the local body of believers. I still remember my wedding day pretty good. It's only going to be 15 years in November. Now, this may be funny to some of you. I have testimony. I have an eyewitness, literally, an eyewitness. I get a phone call at 7 a.m. on the morning we're to get married from my bride. Bill, I got to see you before the wedding. Okay. I've been up sick all night and I just got to see. Now, she was not sick because of who she was marrying. I just want to put that out there. She had a little nerve issue. She was a little nervous. She's like, I got to see you before this wedding. We ain't getting married. And her mom was in the background. Somebody's getting married today. So we decided we would meet each other, but we were going to do the whole traditional wedding. Wasn't going to see each other till she walked down the aisle. But she decided we're going to see each other before. I'm like, cool. I know where I'm supposed to stand. I've got everything under control. So we get there, I get dressed, I'm ushered into the sanctuary. We got married in what your mind probably thinks of as a true Southern church. There's one main aisle, two sets of pews on each side, about 15 deep, little white, has a nice steeple. I mean, you can't get more pictures of a church. I'm ushered in, I'm facing the front of the church, the back door, of course, is behind me. I hear all the bridesmaids giggling. The door opens. I hear her walking down the aisle. And when she gets so far, she calls my name. And I turn around and I felt like Fat Albert. Hey, hey, hey. Woo! There stood my bride in her white gown. Beautiful. I remember it to this day. But she was completely beautiful. She was spotless. We were young. Everything was perfect. Paul describes the church of Jesus the same way. He says, I want you to be set apart so you will be washed in the word. You will be young. You will be beautiful. Because one day the church of Jesus Christ, we're going to be ushered into the sanctuary and we're going to meet our groom. The bride of Jesus is going to leave this earth and we're going to meet our groom. We're going to meet the one who stretched out his arms and died for us. And it says that we're to be beautiful, the beautiful bride, the church are to be clean and youthful, which is only possible through the Spirit of God using the Word of God in our life. You can wash your physical body with soap and water and you can get clean. But to wash your life, you have to be washed in the Word of Jesus Christ Himself. When we become a local body, we should be washing in the Word. Because we should be reading stuff and praying for one another and lifting each other up in such a way that we're helping each other stay clean and purified in the Word of God. That's what a local church, that's what a local body of believers do for each other. When we are in the church of Christ, we can be bathed in the Word of God by the Spirit of God. When we're a part of that. In the body of Christ, we are submitting, we are sanctifying, and it should also be satisfying to us. Ephesians 5 and 28 here. This is probably my favorite part of this verse or this passage. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as they are their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. How beautiful is that? That we are to love. I'm gonna literally talk about that verse just for a second. Husbands, you are to love your wife more than you love yourself. You are to take care of the needs of your wife before you take care of the needs of yourself. You are to look over, look out, protect, and guard your wife in everything you do. And Paul can write this not because he's describing himself, but because he's describing the image of Jesus Christ, who says, I love my church so much that I'm going to die on a cross for it. There's something in that scripture that speaks to me. That Jesus loved me enough that he died for me so that I could be holy in his image, so I could be purified in his image. If you know me and Candy, you know without a shadow of a doubt, I love my wife with everything that's in me. Because I have an example to love my wife with everything that's in me. Because I have a Bible that says to love my wife with everything that's in me. Because Jesus loved us with everything that was in him. So that we could be a part of his body. The very first verse I read said, wives, submit to your husbands. Now we see that the husband is to love his wife more than his own body. Jesus did. He loved us more than he loved his own self. He loved us to the point of death. He loved us to the point of humility. He loved us to the point of shame. He loved us to the point of agony. He loved us so much that he left splendor and glory in heaven to come live in the same world that we're going to walk in today. Well, the world wasn't as bad as it was back then. You want to make a bet? They sure did beat him pretty good. That's pretty bad. Through his spirit, we are washed in his word. By submitting to his authority, we are fulfilling the scripture. And it's satisfying to know that he loved me enough that he died for me so that I could be a part of his local body, so that I could be a part of his creation. The Holy Spirit can fill us and enable us to love one another in a submitting, sanctifying, and satisfying way, the way Christ loves the church. As the worship team makes their way back up this morning, I want you to begin to think about something. Are we submitting to Jesus? Are we just casually dating Jesus? Or are we married to Jesus? Are we casually dating the church? Or are we married to the church? If you're a young Christian and you've not been saved real long, well, you've met the attractive part. You've met each other. That's awesome. And you may not be real sure where you want to attend church. So you're kind of looking around. That's okay. But that shouldn't last real long, because the first two stages of the dating relationship go pretty fast. And then you get to that exclusive where it's just one-on-one. And then you get to the intimacy. And then you get to the engagement. Jesus is asking you to get personal, to get intimate, to get to a relationship where you can engage and you can marry the body of believers. But before you can ever do that, you have to get to know Jesus. You have to make a commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this morning, if you're here and you've never submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to forgive you of your sins, to wash you in the blood of the Lamb, that'd be the first step. But if you're here today and you've done that, and maybe you've been thinking about some membership, maybe you've been looking around to see where you wanted to go to church, and you want to talk more about that, I'd love to talk with you. But the first step is submitting to His authority. And let Him wash you. And let Him satisfy you like only He can. As a body of believers. As a church. As a family.